As I shared with the children, I tried to write a sermon and I couldn't. I would write and I would look at it and go, eh, and I threw it away. And as time got closer for Sunday service, and I'm always nervous every Sunday, I get the jitters. Saturday nights, I can't sleep. And my wife does this to me, and she's gone, so you don't have to tell her I said this. She'll find out anyway. And she knows this. I'm not lying. What's the matter? I'm preaching the more. I'm nervous. I'm in that groove where there's an expectation, and you've done all your reading, and you've pulled together what you think is that sermon. But as a minister, you got to throw it on the Holy Spirit, because truly, I can't preach. I can get up here and walk around and pace and talk to you, but unless the Holy Spirit's in it, it isn't going to happen. And as I read to the children, my starting verse in Scriptures is John chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He told that to his disciples. And in that very short verse, he threw out everything else in the world. And I ask you today, what are you thankful for? As I was talking to the children, I asked them, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Jobs, food, house, this country, and all that stuff. And as I told the children, I am so thankful for Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that he made this statement. This is such a true statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It throws out everything else. Islam, Buddhism, commercialism. Throws out everything else. It says that there is, like this line running right down the middle of this sanctuary, and this is a sanctuary, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling here today, and I hope and pray that he speaks to your hearts. There is one line, and that is it. Jesus Christ. One. The whole world is running after all kinds of other things. I want you to think about something. You're going to have a Thanksgiving meal in the next 3 days. And like the kids, you're going to eat corn, and that's it, with butter on it. But you're going to have turkey. You're going to have filling, possibly homemade filling. I get homemade filling at my house. Candied sweet potatoes or candied yams, something like that. Gooey, drippy, all piled on your plate. With cheesy cauliflower. Who here has cheesy cauliflower? My family likes cheese on their cauliflower. They put a cheese sauce on there, like Velveeta or something. Oh, it's decadent. It's filling. It's delicious. But I want you to think about something. You're going to stuff all that food in you. It's going to go down into your stomach. It's going to churn a little bit. You'll sit on the sofa going, oh, I shouldn't eat that third biscuit, right? And you're going to be full for a couple hours, stuffed maybe, and then will come the pumpkin pie, the cherry pie, the raspberry pie, all the goodies, and you'll stuff yourself some more. But the next couple days, your body will extract from that food a little bit of nourishment, and then it'll all come back out. Now, I'm not going to get gross, but it's going to leave you. That wonderful meal you're looking forward to. We look forward to it every year. My wife just absolutely, we've got to get all this stuff ready. The kitchen's got to be clean so we can mess it up. Right? Yep. Got to happen. But all that is going to leave us. But when we retain what the Lord Jesus gives us through the Holy Spirit and His Word, the truths that He has brought to us, when you retain that, and you hold on to that in your spirit, what does it do? It nourishes your spirit. It gives you something that this world can't give you. It gives you something that you can't get from a turkey dinner. I am so thankful that He is the way. It's so extraordinary. If you look at the world and all their religions, I'm going to pick on just a couple. Islam. They have Allah. They don't have Jesus Christ. They say He's a great prophet. But we call Him the Son of God, the way. And what an extraordinary way it is. You don't have to work for it. He's already provided it. 40 years ago, when I was 15 years old, I was upstate at my grandmother's house, having fun in the summertime. It was around July, running around with the local kids, riding around on dirt bikes and stuff, smoking cigarettes. Some of them were doing snuff. Okay? Yeah, I saw that face. I didn't like it either. Ugh. But in that summer, a light shined on me that showed me the way. There was a tent meeting that the Otterbein Church had put on. And it was really close to my grandmother's house. And this is back in the mountains. There's woods everywhere. It was a paradise for a young boy. I was in the woods, fishing, running around, getting into trouble. And one evening, there was a tent meeting going on. And they had a little pump organ in there. And they were singing. And I was with my brother and some of my friends. And I said, "What's going on down there?" "Oh, the Otterbein Church is having one of those tent meetings." "You guys ever going to one of those?" "No, I ain't going down there." I said, "I want to go down there and see what they're doing." "No, you don't want to go there." "Why?" "They're one of those people." I went down there, you know that? I went down there and I got in there and I got in the back of the tent. Then they had little benches set up, grass. There was a preacher up front, he was preaching. There was a little old lady on a little organ. She's playing that organ. They were singing joyfully. And it hit me. I wanted that. And they said, "This is the way. Jesus Christ, the way." And before that meeting was over, I went up and I gave my heart to the Lord. 40 years ago. Next weekend, when I go upstate, I'm going to give my testimony at that church. You know why? Because I want to tell them, keep doing what you were doing. Some idiot boy, 15 years old, wild, with hair all over the place, no beard, walked into your tent meeting and found the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an extraordinary thing. And you know why it's so extraordinary? Because you don't have to work for it. There is nothing that you can add to it, to that way. All kinds of religions want to add stuff to it. Natural man in this world says, "No, I can't believe that." You know why? Because it's so simple. Leave it to God to bring about such a simple way to be saved. Can you imagine that? Simple. It's so simple. The light shines. You come to the Lord Jesus and accept Him. Done. It's over. You're saved. It's too simple. How many times have you talked to someone about salvation and they go, "Oh, no. No, wait a minute. Don't I have to add something to it?" No. You don't have to add anything. And that's what's so glorious about it. God provided the way. You can't do nothing to add to it. He is the way. And in that way, He is the truth and the life. It's an extraordinary thing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I want to go to Acts chapter, make sure I got the right one. Chapter 4, verse 12. And I still hear pages turning, but that's okay. I'll wait for you. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 12, it says about the way. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is the way, folks. There is no other way. The world wants to tell you there's other ways. There's even other denominations that'll say, oh, all roads lead to God. It's a lie. I'm telling you, it's a lie. There's only one road. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. One way. And the world wants to throw out all kinds of other ways. One way is atheism. There is no way. You live, you produce what you can, and then you die. It's over. There is no God. That's not a way. That's a dead end. Ugh. But the world follows after that stuff. We have the way. You have the way. He dwells in your heart. He speaks to you day by day of truth. He gives you life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. And as I read these verses, the truth washes over me that He is the way and the only way. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. What was lost? We were lost. Before we came to Christ, we didn't have a way. We thought we had a way. We were doing it our way. The world does it their way. Constantly trying to figure it out. Well, if I do it this way, and when that doesn't work, they change their way. They come over here and go, well, maybe I'll try it this way. Aren't you thankful that we have one way? I am so thankful for that. That I don't have to go everywhere looking through all kinds of philosophy books and talking to all kinds of people. Don't have to. I can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and talk to Him. Because He came and He sought me. He sought me as a 15-year-old boy. And He whispered, come on down to that tent meeting. Come on down. Boy, those people are having a good time. They're singing so happily. You know, happiness just draws people in. You know what I mean? And they drew me right in there. And did I become a saint that day? Yeah, in God's eyes I did. But I wasn't perfect. It took God 30 years. 30 years before He called me to be a minister. And if someone had told me way back then at 15, you're going to be a minister someday preaching, you're going to get up in front of people, I'd have laughed at them. But God had a way. He had a way. And He has a way for your lives too. Be joyful and thankful in that He provided a way. Would you turn with me to Romans 10? Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And we're just going to move around through the scriptures a little bit, looking at these little tidbits of gold that are so extraordinary. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Is this not the way? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on His name and you'll be saved. Lay your burdens down at Christ Jesus' feet. It is the way, the only way. I like to look at other religions because that's what they are. They are a religion. And a religion is man's way of reaching up to God. Oh, I think I figured it out. Where Christianity is not a religion. They call it a religion. Sometimes we even say the Christian religion. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with the way, with Jesus Christ. For everyone who calls on His name will be saved. That's an extraordinary thing. Sounds simple, doesn't it? How comes Christian churches aren't overflowed with people? You know why? Because natural man says, nope, too easy. I want to add something to that. I have to help God. God doesn't need our help. Not one little bit. He saves through Jesus Christ the way. It's an extraordinary thing. It'll do stuff to you. It'll change you. Can you imagine that? Who likes change? I like change. I didn't, but I like change now because I like what the Lord is changing me into. I like it. Doesn't mean it's easy. Oh, change isn't easy. Who says change is easy? Not easy. Sometimes it hurts. It's aggravating. But I'm thankful for that change, because that is the way that God brings about what He wants as us. And the way He does it is He plants His truth in you. And where do you find that truth? Right here, in His Word. Such extraordinary things. Proverbs. Let's hit the Old Testament for a moment. Proverbs 14:12. Can we find Proverbs 14:12? Proverbs. And this is what I was talking to you about the world. And way back in the Old Testament, that truth has been brought forth. Proverbs chapter 14, starting at verse 12. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. Any other way than Jesus Christ will lead right to death. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. Eternal separation from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's funny. Those ways seem right to natural man. Oh, this seems right. I don't want to deal with that Jesus Christ. Why do I have to deal with Him? I don't want to. I'm going to go over here and do it my way. And so many people do that. Love them. They are captured. They are in chains, being led away to dungeons of darkness. And you have the only key that can open those chains. The way, Jesus Christ. Extraordinary. Extraordinarily simple. Jesus Christ. God is so wonderful, isn't He? Amen? Amen. 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 As we trudge through this world, we have the way and the truth. You know, Jesus spoke the truth. And in the Gospel of John, I looked it up, he said, I tell you the truth 26 times. I tell you the truth. As he was talking to his disciples and the people who were listening to him, he said, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. He is the truth. When you go to him, you will always get the truth. He will speak to you through the Holy Spirit and tell you truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Sometimes when you're reading scriptures and you kind of get a little lost and you're going, I'm not sure what that means. Do you get down on your knees and pray, Lord, help me. Help me to understand. As a student minister, I'm always reading this. And I have professors going, well, what does that mean? Explain that to me. And in those moments, I'm going, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to retain that truth. So where do we find truth? We find it in our scriptures. We find it in the Lord Jesus. We find it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Whoop, too far. Matthew chapter 5. Yeah, we're going to move around a little bit in the scriptures this morning. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. I tell you the truth, Jesus speaking, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. He says, I tell you the truth. The written word is where we find our truth. Jesus is the truth, and he is the life, and we know he is the way. But feed on his written word daily, constantly. I used to tell a minister one time, he said, did you read the word today, David? Yes, I was chewing on it today. Chewing on it, like taking in that turkey dinner. Get that word. Read it. Oh, oh. Chewing on it. Swallowing it, taking it into your very self. The truth of this word. It's an extraordinary thing. I didn't have words to write. I tried. Tried to write a sermon. Didn't happen. The Holy Spirit kept slapping my hand away. No, no. So I just kept reading. I kept looking for stories and instances. And I read about other religions. Kept putting stuff in me. I had no idea what I was going to talk about today. I had no idea. Do you think I'm nervous? Oh, I was very nervous when I got here this morning. That's something for a minister to come in and have no written sermon. Oh. My stomach was in knots. And then I threw some sausage and eggs on it this morning just to calm it down. That didn't work. Then I put a little toast in there. And then I put the word in there. And I sat down and I went through the scriptures that the Lord pointed out to my heart. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to be completely thankful for that this Thanksgiving. Because all the trappings of Thanksgiving, all the trappings of this world, this gymnasium, this podium, my clothes, this body, is going to be gone with, done away with. And the only thing you'll have in the end is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. Those tabernacles are built in your heart. And what are they for? A dwelling place. Excuse me, a dwelling place of our God who is three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They dwell in that tabernacle in your heart. and your heart and your heart, and he's moving through us to bring about what he wants on this earth, his glory, and that people would be saved. And they get a choice. I was at a men's prayer breakfast, and they were talking about Calvinism. And actually, they were refuting some of the stuff in Calvinism. And as they were talking and discussing, I was there with Brother Dan, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And he spoke a truth to me. And he said, you know, I am God. I am at the beginning of time and human beings. And I'm at the end of time and human beings. And I know every person who's going to accept my son as their savior. And I know every person who will not. It's none of your business trying to figure out who it is. Preach my gospel. And that's what I told those gentlemen. I said, why we even, don't worry about this part. Just preach it. Because if you follow Calvinism, which some of the tenets of Calvinism is, that there's a predestined, a preordained, God, you know, is going to pick you, but he's not going to pick you. We don't know that. We're not supposed to be there. We're supposed to follow in the way. If you were a true Calvinist, and I've said this to people who say, I'm a Calvinist, I know the truth. I said, why preach the word? God's already preordained everybody that he's going to ordain and those he's not. What are you worried about? What did Jesus say? He said, preach the truth. I am the truth, the way, and the life. And the Calvinists, they get mad at me. Well, I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't bother me none. We're to preach. We're to be thankful for Jesus Christ, that he is the way. And it's just a simple way. And I'm not saying that in terms saying, you know, well, Jesus is just Jesus. No, it's a glorious way. It is the best way. It keeps me out of it. If I had something to do with my salvation, you know what would happen? I would muck it up. It would be a mucky mess. I'd mess it up completely. Thank God that he sent Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm going to save you, Dave Webster. I'm going to save you. And that's what he did. And for all of you here that are saved, you're all saved. God did it. You had nothing to do with it. He said, I'm going to save you. And at that moment you did get saved, what happened? A light shined down out of heaven, a spiritual light that knocked you on your knees. I was in that tent meeting. I went up front to get saved. They made a call. I walked up there, and on my knees I was. It knocked me right down. The power of God. He will throw you down in the dirt and say, I'm going to save you. You can't do anything about it. You can't save yourself, but I will save you. That is an extraordinary thing. That's something to be thankful for. The whole world is running after all kinds of other stuff. Materialism and all, everything that happens. Be thankful that Jesus Christ came and that he has the power to save you. And he has the power to save your family and your friends and everybody around. But will they open their heart to him? Or will they close their heart and say, well, I've got to add something to it. Or, no, I don't like that way. I want to go this way over here. Cry for them. Because they're going to end up in hell. And I'm going to say that as a preacher. They're going to end up in hell. You turn away from Jesus Christ, you have another place to go. But hell and damnation, complete separation from God. That's what happens. And it's so easy. Just turn to Jesus Christ and say, save me. Call on his name. Oh. The truth. I tell you the truth. Can you imagine how many times that Jesus tried to tell people the truth and they wouldn't listen? I'm going to go to Luke chapter 20, verse 20. My pages are sticking right here. You ever had that happen to you? You're trying to move somewhere quick in your Bible and it doesn't. Chapter 20, starting in verse 20. This has to do with our Lord Jesus. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him. Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right and that you do not show partiality but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And they asked their question. Could be any question. But the religious authorities of that time acknowledged that he was a teacher who spoke the truth. He followed God. He is the truth. All the time. How many times has someone lied to you? I want you to think about it. Look back through your life. How many times have people lied to you? Probably numerous times. Hurts, doesn't it? It's painful. Especially painful if one of your children lied to you. You ask one of your children, did you do that? No. There's a hole in the wall. How'd that get there? Well, I don't know. Do I have a child name? I don't know. Because I didn't do it. Jesus will never lie to you. But you got to be ready to take the truth. Because sometimes he's going to speak the truth about you. He's going to say, Brother David, you have a crummy attitude in this situation. You're sinning. And I'm like most men. I don't like to be told that I'm wrong, especially by my wife. I don't like it. But I'm learning to live under it. Because sometimes my Lord and Savior Jesus uses my wife to give me that old slap. Oop. I forget that I have a mic on in my... Yeah. The little foam thing took off. I saw it go... I'll find it. It doesn't matter. But in that way, in that truth, we have life. And I'm going to have to lend this sermon soon because I didn't write one. I'm up here just talking to you what the Lord tells me to say. He gives you life. He gives it abundantly. And can I tell you something about life? Some people who come to the Lord and go, oh, my life is going to be so wonderful now. Everything's going to be taken care of. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be joy total all the time. What is life? Life sometimes is hardships. Life sometimes is joy. Life sometimes is extraordinary. But I want you to think about one thing, and I'm going to leave that with you. Life has to be tough. Because if it's easy, we'll be just like the Hebrews were. When God gave them everything and it became so easy, what did they do? They forgot about God. God runs you through hardships with the people you work with your family, with relatives, hardships. And he keeps smacking you with them so that you will go, oh, the way, the truth, the life. Oh, Jesus, What do I need to do here? Things will straighten out when you put it in His hands and you ask for His guidance, for His truth, His way, His life. When you take the life of Jesus Christ upon you and you lay down your life, things will never be the same. Did I become a minister 40 years ago? Nope. In a way, I did. Once I got saved, I started telling other people about it. But never for a moment did I think I'd be a minister. God has a way of upsetting things so quickly in your life. 40 years ain't nothing, people. What is 40 years? It's nothing. Compared to eternity, it's a teeny little speck, 40 years. But the defining moment of that 40 years ago is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then He took me through the steps and the way of getting stuff that was in me out of the way and letting Him take more and more. You want the life and you want to be thankful for the life? Give it to Jesus. This Thanksgiving, as we eat that meal, and we enjoy our family that we're thankful for, because I am, you are, and you are part of my family. And I will be thinking about you this Thursday when we have our Thanksgiving meal and praying for you. I want you to remember and be thankful for that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That there is no other way. Thank God that He provided a way, or we'd still all be lost. Would you rise with me and let's pray together? Father in heaven, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for the way, the truth, and the life. I thank you for each and every person here in this congregation. Father, fill them lives. Fill their lives and hearts with your Holy Spirit. Give them what they need and not what they want. Give them a spirit of discipleship that they would become and work out in their lives that discipleship, spreading the gospel to all that they meet at the moment that the Holy Spirit tells you to do it. So, Father in heaven, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Heart of Christ Church. I'm thankful for the provisions that you've given us. I'm thankful for the turkey dinner that I'm going to get to eat in a couple days. Thank you. And thank you for everything else you're doing behind the scenes, underneath and below us, the things that we don't even know about. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you are working in our lives. And to you be all the glory and the honor, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father in heaven, to you be all the glory and honor.